show, the Columbia University Sports Podcast, where every week or so we talk about business. And we've got a special guest this week. As those who've listened to the show before know, we have in our Columbia graduate program a member of the Cleveland Browns, and Andrew Hawkins, wide receiver for the Browns. And he was good enough to join us in March. And now we go to the other side of the ball for someone relatively recently out of the NFL, but had quite a career, especially with the Arizona Cardinals. Now on to the entrepreneurial side and a little bit of the business side of football. We welcome in Adrian Wilson. Adrian, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, man. I appreciate you.
No problem. So one of the things I was reading, which I thought was pretty interesting, when you retired, someone had asked you about what you thought about your career, and you said, I just wanted to make sure that I mattered. Why was that important to you, and do you think, looking back now, taking all the accolades from away from the field, the amazing accomplishments you had on the field, do you think that you were able to make the impact that you wanted to when you started out?
It's a good question because, when I had made that statement, the reason why I made the statement was pretty relative to my hometown and just kind of where I grew up and how I grew up. I think, the hardships that I went through in my childhood, I was never supposed to make it this far. So when I made that statement of I just wanted to matter, it was really for, the younger kids that are, coming up in High Point or coming up in any region where there's hardship. I just wanted to make sure that they were able to see somebody in that same situation make it out of that situation and become somewhat successful and matter to an organization or matter to a position group or, whatever it is. I just wanted to make sure that I did my part in making a statement for that type of upbringing.
Got it. Well, you certainly mattered to millions of fans around the NFL. On the business side of the NFL, one of the players who was always known as tough on the field, but also bringing leadership, especially to younger players, and five Pro Bowl appearances, making a big difference with the Cardinals as the Cardinals transformed into kind of the mega team that they are today under Bruce Arians. But now as you kind of go on and you're getting to the end of your career and you start to think about things, when did you know or did you start to get a feel that you wanted to be involved in entrepreneurial types of businesses? And we'd love to have you touch on the businesses that you run now and that you're involved with, from sneakers to apparel, some of the community events that you're doing. When did you kind of get that bug as you were coming towards the end of your career?
Well, the entrepreneurial side actually came probably in year three of my NFL career. After my third year, for people that don't know the NFL, after your third year, you get tendered a one-year contract. So at the time, Dennis Green, rest his soul, passed away today.
Amazing, yep.
Dennis Green came in as the new coach, and he told me that he didn't know if he was going to tender me that one-year offer based off of my performance last year. And to his credit, I had a horrible season. I mean, it was terrible. And that got me thinking about, just outside things that I should be thinking about anyway, from a business standpoint to, okay, if this is my last year, like, what am I going to do type of scenario. Luckily he ended up extending the contract the 12th hour of the last day, scared me and, kind of got me, thinking about things outside of football. And, I always wanted to own my own shoe store. And, it was just one of those things where things kind of fell in place, where it was a new space opening up out here in Arizona. And I just had all these ideas in my head, and I write down a lot of stuff in journals and that type of stuff. And, I would go back through the journals and just look at kind of what I wrote. And it was always about owning my own business, owning the shoe store, owning the apparel store, whatever it is, it was always in that realm. So a good friend of mine, her name is Yvonne Figg, she does like a lot of buy-in and stuff in Vegas and New York at, you know, a lot of the trade shows, agenda trade shows, and all the other trade shows. So I got to talking to her about it. One thing led to another. The following year, we ended up opening up High Point, which is my shoe store out here in Arizona. Coming up this year, October of this year, it'll be our 10-year anniversary. So I've had that store now for 10 years. And that's kind of the backstory on how I started thinking about football, because thinking about outside of football, because I didn't think football was going to be there for me.
So tell everybody a little bit more about the 10-year journey of the shoe store. You know, how did you finance it? You obviously found the space. You know, how important was it to surround yourself with the right leadership team while you're going to do what you need to do on the field? You know, you obviously have to have the right people in place to help run a business, and 10 years is an amazing run for a store like that.
You know, it started out, you know, I will tell you the absolute truth. It started out, I was losing money, you know, just hand over fist. You know, it was one of those things where I was kind of moving out of the phase of being a younger man and wanting the things that young men wear to now moving into a more, you know, adult type look, where it's not the baggy jeans, the big shirt, and all this. I was transferring more over to the cut and tailor type look, where it's not a whole lot of fabric and kind of going away from that look. So over the first couple of years, man, I lost a ton of money just because of identity. You know, I had an identity crisis in myself. And it reflected on the store, because I didn't want certain things in the store any longer, because I wouldn't wear it. Like, why would I go in my store and not wear things that's in my store if I was going in a totally different direction? I entrusted Yvonne with, pretty much overseeing the whole store aspect of it, as far as the buy-in, the hiring. We'll have weekly meetings every single week. Usually Mondays and Tuesdays to go over certain things. We have some very, very loyal employees over the 10 years. And, you know, I always told my employees that, you know, I know this isn't the career that you want to have long term. And I will do anything in my power to not only help you in realizing what you want to do, you know, once you get out of, you know, the mid-20s or whatever it is, I'm here for you. Like, I'm a launch board for whatever it is that you guys want to do for your career. And, you know, a lot of those employees that we had early on, those guys are doing other things and other businesses that I actually helped them get involved in. So, you know, not only was that a big deal for me, but, you know, just in growing the store, I think, you know, overall, the growth of the store, the growth of Arizona as a whole, you know, we went from one space to a whole bigger space because we outgrew it. The demand for High Point was so big in Arizona at the time that we were the only premier sneaker store there. So for us to be there 10 years now is amazing.
Mm-hmm. And now that you're off the field for a while, are you more involved now? And, you know, how do you want to kind of, and you obviously are still working, doing some scouting with the Cardinals.
Right.
But will you do more? Are you much more hands-on now? And are there things that you find out now about the business that when you were playing you didn't know about or have kind of learned as you've kind of evolved into this next part of your career?
I think more so than anything, I'm a little bit more hands-on because we're trying to produce our own private label now, trying to get our own brand into the store. So, you know, I am a little bit more hands-on with that aspect of it. And from your point about, you know, me not knowing exactly everything that's going on as far as inside the store now, I mean, it's tons of stuff that I didn't know. I mean, from the bookkeeping to how we lay the store out. I mean, to rearranging the store's decor to what fits us best as far as to get product off the floor. The visualization of when people actually walk through the door, what they see. It's tons of stuff that I knew nothing about. I had no clue about that. I was just naive about that. Now that I have time to actually see what these meetings are being held on and how the employees take full responsibility for their part in it. I mean, I think it's incredible that, you know, young people can do that and be accountable for that. And, you know, for me to actually sit there and realize it and see it now is night and day. I had no clue. Now, you know, with the scouting stuff and scouting with the Cardinals I still have time to go in and check on the store pretty much every single week if I'm not on the road. But you know, High Point is definitely always going to be my priority. But I obviously work obviously pays the bills, but you know, High Point is my baby, and that's just something that, you know, I have to take full responsibility over.
So as your baby approaches its teenage years, where do you want? Yeah, I'm reading Phil Knight's book now, and he talks about how he was able to come up with the idea and really kind of almost will the idea of launching a sneaker line, which is obviously a ridiculously crowded space now, but also highly valuable. You've talked about creating your own line. Is it something that you envision going nationally? Is it a regional idea? And then do you have to go and get more funding for something like that? How do you kind of go from store, you know, interesting idea, bigger location, big brand where you've spent time to now, you know, the next step of, you know, kind of your entrepreneurship journey?
You know, I have a good friend there in New York. His name is Ryan Babazine. He's a business mentor to me. I mean, I call him on a daily because he's one of those guys that he's a singular thinker. All he thinks about is his brand and how to grow his brand and how his brand can be better or bigger or what they can do next. And, you know, I bounce ideas off of him because of how he thinks.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to be more like him and being a singular thinker. So I try my best when you talk about us, building our own brand and making our own clothing. My thought process is we're here in Arizona. Nobody's going to know Arizona like how we know Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
So we're depending so much on outside sources, and we're bringing outside sources into the store that's making us think that we have to be like the outside sources because they are what's driving our own store.
Mm-hmm.
So my thought process was, I'm not going to worry about outside sources any longer. Like I'm finna hone in and focus on High Point and what High Point is for Arizona and make our own brand and then start picking out the outside sources that fit in with our brand instead of doing it the opposite way.
Mm-hmm.
Of us having to adapt to whatever we bring into the store.
Right.
So my thought process was, and I'm being totally honest here with you, I don't give a shit how much it costs. I'm tired of outside sources dictating how we buy.
Mm-hmm.
So go ahead.
No, go ahead. Keep going.
So, the funding for it is going to be strictly me out of my own pocket. We hired an extra employee who, you know, he's been doing this for quite some time. His name is Mario. He had a brand here in Arizona, and he ended up selling his part of the brand to come work for us. And he's been a huge inspiration for us because he's an Arizona guy. He's born and raised here in Arizona. He believes in what we're doing at High Point. And just today he gave us a mock-up of our 10-year anniversary, kind of some of the mock-ups that some of the ideas that he has as far as clothing, shoes, jacket, hat, whatever it is that we're going to end up doing for the 10-year anniversary. But he already has those mocked up and ready to go. Just need some tweaks and approval, but you know, we're kind of full speed ahead on doing our own thing as far as having our own brand.
Great. It sounds like a lot of your success, both on and off the field, comes from culture. And one of the things that sometimes gets forgotten, especially in the athletic field, is the building of the proper culture in a locker room. You've come now, you know, you touched on Dennis Green, who passed away, Bruce Arians, and the culture that they've built around a team. How important is that in the locker room? And then how have you been able to kind of take that positive culture mentality and bring it to an entrepreneurial business?
Well, I think locker room culture is probably one of the biggest things that get misread. More people, more, whether it's football, whether it's basketball, whether it's hockey, baseball, whatever it is, whatever sport it is, the locker room is such a sacred place, and people learn so much from a locker room atmosphere that it kind of goes unseen. It's kind of one of those things where you can learn so much from interacting with your neighbors, learning different things. Just you see so much. It's almost, you know, I don't want to like put it in terms of being in prison because I've never been in prison. But mm-hmm. It's one of those things where it's so many things that you can actually see that's going on in the locker room and you can learn from it. And the side conversations that you have, I mean, it is really a sacred place, and every locker room is different. But when you have a locker room full of guys that have one common goal, and that's, you know, to win a Super Bowl or, you know, to win an NBA championship or whatever it is, you become kind of intertwined with each other. And you bounce certain ideas off of each other, and you get things from people that have no clue about, you know, about owning their own business or, you know, whatever it is. They have no clue about it, but they have great ideas. And sometimes you get some of your best ideas from the locker room.
Right. How are there athletes in any sport that you've crossed paths with who have gone on to, you know, be successful businessmen and or businesswomen? Who are they, and what did you draw from some of those conversations or experiences, both positively and negatively, for guys who have done well or guys who have failed?
I don't really per se would say I have like a ton of friends that's, you know, kind of in the same, you know, sport that I play. I really try my best to have friends outside of what I do because mm-hmm. I don't want my thinking to get so polluted with, you know, ball every single day of my life. So, you know, a lot of my friends, they have nothing to do with sports and
right.
don't want to have anything to do with sports because it's just, you know, it's one of those things where if I'm not in touch with the outside world and what's going on with the outside world, then I'll never be able to grow individually as a person because I'll be so ingrained with ball every single day that it's just not – it wouldn't be healthy for me.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, a lot of my friends are in the financial world. You know, Ryan Babazine that I mentioned, he's up in New York. He, you know, he's been running business for years. His brother, Brendan Babazine, was a part of Supreme for a very, very long time. Garrett Fick, who's, you know, he's a financial advisor who was in New York, but he's now here in Arizona. So a lot of my friends, man, they really have nothing to do with football. But people that I do look up to as far as, you know, the Kobe Bryants of the world or the Kevin Garnetts, you know, how those guys can really influence a brand and influence
right.
culture. Carmelo does a great job of influencing culture. You know, and I think those are the guys that have a lot of responsibility on their back as well, too, as far as the influence that they have on others.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of influence on others, we'd be remiss without talking about the influence that the digital and the social space can have. And you've got a pretty big following on Twitter. You're very active. How does that impact positively or negatively on your business? And then how do you use the influence you have both in the community and social media to help kind of drive this next stage of your life from a business perspective?
Well, everything I do on my social media is, you know, it's going to be positive. Everything about what's going on with my sites are all going to be positive. I try to put positive energy out into the world. Obviously, there are people on Twitter or whatever it is that have negative comments to, you know, to say or, you know, whatever. I just respond back with something very positive because mm-hmm. it's just, you know, it's one of those things where there's a lot of kids on these social media sites and, you know, it's so much negativity in the world now on those sites that it's just the world is ran by just negative comments, negative
right.
things that are going on in the world. Those things get the most attention. And when you're doing something positive and you want to influence a positive nature on the community and starting here at home in Arizona, that's all I try to do. I don't look for the negativity in anything. I try to bring out the positive in every single situation because I don't want the negativity to be on me. Like I don't want to say that I put that negativity out there in the world. You know, I don't want that. You know, I want everything around me to be positive. I want my people to be positive that work for me. You know, just try to create an atmosphere where everybody can grow. And that's at the end of the day, that's all you're looking for is individual growth. And once those people grow individually, it'll help the team grow as a whole.
When you were coming to the end of your career, and even probably in the midway point of your career, where younger players came into the locker room, you obviously took a leadership role everywhere you've ever been. Were those the type of things, and was it effective in trying to communicate those, hey, you know, don't do this, do things this way, let me tell you kind of how it can work? What was the response? Was it positive? Did you think a lot of players either looked up to you or kind of followed your lead? And what was it like to be, you know, looked upon, you know, as a leader in a locker room and then eventually a leader in the business world?
Well, when I first came to the Cardinals in 2001, we had a locker room full of veteran guys. I mean, we had a locker room full of 10, 11, 9-year vets.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was a rookie coming in. Was, you know, I came in knowing that I was going to take somebody's job. And, you know, that was my full intent. I mean, that's everybody's full intent when they get drafted is to come in there and take somebody's job. So, you know, I took the back seat in 2001 all the way until probably 2003. So I took the back seat for 3 years. And even though I was starting, I didn't really have a voice as far as a leadership voice because I still had guys that were older than me, guys that have been on the team longer than me, and I respected that. That's something that, you know, that I didn't have any say-so. You know, I looked at those guys. I learned from those guys. I rarely said anything. And when I came into the position of being voted a captain, being looked at as a leader, a lot of those guys in 2004, 2005, that's when, like, you know, the social medias and
mm-hmm.
the promoting of yourself started to become, like, a big thing.
Right.
And, you know, a lot of those guys coming in, man, they had more aspirations about individual success than they did about, you know, the team success because you was getting different types of deals individually from companies. But your team wasn't having success. So it was kind of, you know, it was kind of a double-edged sword there where I kind of had to walk on both sides of the line and say, hey, you know, I understand that you want to get this deal from Motorola or whoever it is, but if that's taken away from film study time, then, you know, we have to put the film study first because
right.
everybody in the locker room wants to win. But, you know, you're over here getting $100,000 from Motorola or whoever it is to go and do a, you know, a two-hour commercial shoot or something. You know, it's just, you know, those types of things started happening. And, you know, the only voice of reason that you can actually be is you got to put the team success over individual success. And, you know, a lot of guys took heed to it. But we had a great locker room. And, you know, guys like Larry Fitzgerald, even Patrick Peterson, Darnell Dock, a lot of those guys, man, they wanted to change the culture more than anything. And those guys, I mean, they did a great job for a very, very long time.
Mm-hmm. And obviously Arizona fans and the organization are continuing to reap the benefits of some of the seeds that you helped plant and have now really kind of come to fruition under the current coaching staff with Bruce Arians. So,
right.
So touch on, in the few minutes we have left, touch on the other piece of what you're doing, Adrian, on the scouting side, and how does that work from a business perspective, and how was that transition from physically going on the field to now kind of being in the front office? Is it something that you want to continue to grow? Is it, can you run that parallel from being an entrepreneur, and which side could eventually take over that would make you the best person that you could be?
You know, I think, you know, right now in the scouting world, I think right now is, you know, is one of those things where I started full-time last year, but I've been scouting players for my whole NFL career.
Right.
I just didn't have the right reports up on them, and, you know, talk about these players in front of, you know, our general staff or whatever it is. I didn't have to do that. So the scouting side now is very, very apples to oranges. That's what I like to say.
Mm-hmm.
If this guy can play, he can play. If he can't play, he can't play. Like, there's no gray area. For mm-hmm. me, there's no gray area where I'm like, you know what? You know, he might can play. You know, it's never going to be that. It's either he can play and develop, or he can't. He can't play, he's done. Like, he's tapped out. So I say this in the business sense of being a scout. For me to go into a meeting last week and say, hey, guys, we finna fully concentrate on the High Point brand, that's me scouting and looking at everything around our store and looking at our staff and really, really telling them that, hey, it's time for us to really focus in on what we want to do as a company. And, mm-hmm. you know, that's just me, you know, kind of putting my scouting eyes on, but putting it in the business form mm-hmm. and just looking at it that way. And, you know, just taking some of those things, because we have a great general staff over there with Steve Kahn, the general manager, Terry McDonough, who's the vice president of player personnel, you know, Michael Bidwell, who's the owner. I mean, those guys do a great job of keeping it rolling, you know, keeping it rolling. Ever since Bruce Arians got there, it's been 10, 11, 12, 13 wins. So being able to be a part of that and actually see it and sit in meetings and see how they do certain things, you can take a whole lot of what they do in a big business world and put it into the small business world and just hone it in and tighten it up for that cause. So to your end, what you said about the scouting and if something that I want to do full time, at the end of the day, I want to be a general manager. I think everybody mm-hmm. that does this type of business, I think, you know, they have aspirations of being a general manager for one of the 32 teams in the National Football League. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is a rare job. That is something that, you know, that everybody doesn't get to do. So, you know, obviously that is something that I definitely want to do. One of my huge inspirations in doing that is not only Steve Kahn. I've been knowing him since I was 16 years old, but Ozzie Newsome is a big guy that I look at that said, hey, he was a guy that used to play. He started out scouting, and he's been now a general manager for the Baltimore Ravens for the past 15 to 20 years.
Right.
And, you know, he's done it the right way.
Mm-hmm. And I would imagine that there are things that you could take out of running a small business that could eventually go into that, because, as you know, today the general manager side still has to have a little bit of an eye, not just on the football side, but has to understand kind of the overall the way business is run as well. So
absolutely.
It seems like, you know, you've kind of really positioned yourself to do both. Before we let you go, a couple questions we like to ask everyone when they come on is, where do you go to get your information about business, about lifestyle? Are there places that you read, websites that you go to? And then secondly and most importantly, where can people follow you? Everyone who's going to be listening in is going to want to know where they want to follow more about either High Point or Adrian Wilson. So where do you get your information, and then where can people find you best?
Well, I read a ton. I mean, I read a ton just individually, just, you know, books, magazines. I mean, it's so many things that I go through, that I thumb through pretty much every night, from Fortune magazine to Entrepreneur magazine to, I mean, I'm even reading Phil Knight's book too. So
it's
different
great
things
book,
that kind of
anybody
oh,
who hasn't read
great.
It.
It is a great book. I mean, even I think the first two or three chapters of his book where he's actually left college and was staying at home, and he actually, you know, took jobs in Hawaii and all these other places to actually pay to kind of go over. I think just that drive and that mentality that he had to kind of do it himself and not have to really depend on anybody else except for his dad giving him the money to actually get on the plane to go over there. But just that drive that he had to kind of just, you know, get it started. You know, I think that's the hardest part is getting it started. But, I mean, for me, man, it's just tons of things that I read. You know, it's different inspirations that come from different places. But at the end of the day, I always go off of what my gut and my heart tells me to do. And, you know, I just felt like it was time for us as a brand to do what we need to do for High Point.
Mm-hmm.
Where you can find me at, Instagram, Adrian_Wilson24, Instagram, and on Twitter. And also I have a blog on AdrianWilson24.com that should be going up pretty soon here in the next couple of days. I kind of just jot things down on there that I'm thinking about, inspirations, and yeah.
And where can people find more information about High Point?
You can go on highpointshoes.com. Obviously, we post stuff on there all the time. High Point Shoes on Instagram as well. And I'm pretty sure I think it's the same thing on Twitter.
Great. Adrian Wilson, former All-Pro for the Arizona Cardinals, now an entrepreneur and also a scout. Thanks very much for joining us on the Columbia University Sports Podcast. I'm Joe Favorito. Adrian, thanks again, and good luck as we get towards yet another NFL season.
All right, man. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of The Cusp Show. That's the Columbia University Sports Podcast. I'm Tom Richardson. My co-host is Joe Favorito. And our production assistant this week is Columbia student James Appel. You can subscribe to this podcast on Apple's podcast app, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and on other key platforms. You can also see it at blogtalkradio.com/The Cusp Show. And you can get in touch with us on Twitter at CU Sports Biz, that's B-I-Z. Also, you can find out more about our program, the Columbia University Sports Management Program, by going online at sps.columbia.edu/sports-management. Thank you.